So should any of us struggle with thinking that we're great? We need only lift our eyes to the only one that is truly great.
The views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Welcome, my friends, to Entitled to Overcome, Solutions for Life Today, with our good friend CADC Level 2, Mr. Dave Fleming, and, of course, Roger McDermott from Huntington Beach, California. I've honed my ventriloquist skills. Welcome to Entitled to Overcome Solutions for Life Today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio. Dave Fleming he's taken a slightly ill, not quite sure what's going on. I don't think it's serious, but he dropped by the studio and then he had to leave. And so our prayers go with him. He's just not feeling well. But Roger's here. Roger McDermott's here. He's in the cockpit of a Cessna 150 sitting there.
Yes. Good morning. I'm talking to you from Los Angeles near the international airport. But
yes.
I'm in my car. I wish I was in the pilot seat of a plane.
Is it a flying car? No.
It could be a flying car. Back in the day, Monty, everything was flying.
Everything was flying. All right.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Sponsoring this broadcast, of course, is our good friend, Dr. Alan Berger. Visit his website at abphd.com and get this book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, Getting Your Recovery Unstuck. You ever feel like your recovery's stuck and it's kind of stagnant? Well, this book will shed some light on that and really, it'll really enhance your recovery. It really will. So I encourage you to get that. And if you don't get it on Amazon and you get it through his website, he'll sign it for you. That's always nice to have. Autographed copy of 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, abphd.com is the website. Thank you, Dr. Berger, for sponsoring this show. And by the way, our good friend Kurt Palmer and our good friend Roger McDermott both sponsor the Monty Man's Meditorials on Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, the topic, what is the topic? Hold on, let me look.
Let me look.
Aha. The topic will be a call to judgment. Yes, it's okay to make judgment calls. We'll be talking about that on Wednesday. Roger's going, what? Yeah. All right. The topic on this episode of Solutions for Life Today is pride. That's a word that you hear a lot lately, don't you, Roger?
It's a word that is used a lot. A lot, a lot.
A lot. And I'm sure our good friend Mickey Bush has an acronym for it. I was trying to come up with one, and I'm just not an acronym guy.
I have one. I don't know if it's Mickey's or not, but I have one for pride.
You do? Oh, goody. Go ahead for it. Go for it.
PRIDE, personal recovery, includes defeating ego.
Ooh, that is very clever. Very good. Did you make that up while sitting in your Cessna?
Yes, it just came to me. An angel on a wing came and told me that for the show. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. No, that's really good. So we're going to be talking about pride. And I got a nudge from our good friend Cecil. Cecil actually has a song or something. Not sure exactly what it is. I'm sure it'll be entertaining to all. dedicated to our good friend Dave Fleming, who went home sick today. And so, my watch is ringing. My watch is ringing. It's the Foot Clinic. Oh, goody. Like anybody cares on this show, right? That's, you get too much technology and you got things like talking watches and everything. So I think I'm getting the nod. Cecil's ready. Cecil's ready with this tribute, I think.
Okay, everybody, just stop for a minute. Now, listen, I worked on this all night, so I want you to pay close attention. Are you ready?
Yep.
Good. Here we go.
Wow.
A one and a two and a three, four, five. Come listen to the story about a man named Dave. For many years of his life, he lived in a cave. But then one day, Dave came out to play. And now we have solutions for life today. With power, that is. Now Dave teamed up with Roger and Monty Man. Together they preach joy all throughout the land. They know a lot of folks, like movers and shakers. But on a weekly show for Dave and Monty's Icebreaker. Get it, guys! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Woo-hoo! Woo!
You know,
I think Cecil needs a program, Monty.
I don't know. The kind of program that you get committed to. Okay, the icebreaker. I thought we'd have some fun with this. I got a couple of sound clips, and we'll see if Roger can guess before we give you the answer. We'll see if Roger and listeners, you can play along. If you guess right, you win nothing. There you go. Just bragging rights. Let's see if you can guess what these two sound clips have in common. Here's the first one.
Take you in the sun to promised lands to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
Okay, that's the first one. You know who that is, Roger?
Zombies.
Zombies. Okay, here's the second sound clip. Love them guys. Okay, who's that, Roger?
ZZ Top.
ZZ Top. Now, what do those two sound clips have in common? You have any idea? You're a music guy.
Sharp Dressed Man and A Time for Loving.
Ooh.
How about that?
Close.
Sharp Dressed Man and A Time for Loving. Well, no, it doesn't matter if you think that's right or not. Come on, Monty. I'd say that's right.
Check this out. This is from, I've lost my notes. Cecil, where's my notes? I had it here. Oh, there it is. Our friend at the Cody Tucker Show. Check this out.
So the Zombies, in 1968, they released the single Time of the Season. It ends up the next year becoming very big in the United States. Well, time for the Zombies to come to the U.S. and tour. They had already broken up. Record company decides we could probably do a little bit of a work around here. They come up with the idea to just make a fake band and call them the Zombies. There is no internet. People in the U.S. don't know what these guys look like. So not only did they make one fake Zombies, they made a second fake Zombies. And at the exact same time, both fake Zombies were touring across the United States. One of those bands ends up just kind of dissolving into nothing. The other band happened to be a little blues band from Dallas. Two of the members of that band were Frank Beard and Dusty Hill, who would later join forces with a guitarist named Billy Gibbons and create the legendary band ZZ Top.
Isn't that cool? That is just so
cool. No, the Zombies were there was no Zombies band.
No. There was, but then they went bye-bye. And then there was Make-Believe Zombies. Two Make-Believe Zombies. And one fizzled out, and the other one turns into ZZ Top. I mean...
Wow.
That's right. Of course, Billy Gibbons was on vocals. Dusty Hill was bass, I believe. And Frank Beard was the drummer. Yeah, but what...
Wow. That's amazing. I had no idea.
The things that we learn, you know what I mean? I love stuff like that. That's one of the reasons. Yeah, go ahead, Roger. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, Monty, what the heck does that have to do with Pride?
Oh.
Because when you were playing those two, I'm thinking to myself, there must be some hidden thing in here that we're going to talk about.
Some subliminal.
Regarding Pride. Yeah, yes. Backward masking in the Zombie song.
No. Hey, listen, there's enough poison in some music forwards. You don't need to worry about it going backwards. You know what I mean? Poison, there's another group.
Yes.
Tool, there's a group. You went and saw Tool, didn't you?
I just saw them last Thursday night.
Yeah. You're just
second time I've seen them.
Man, I wish I could like jump in your pocket and go to you're going to go see Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
What a duo.
Part seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm excited.
That is great. Well, I love things like this. You know, history, musicology, the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, for instance, and all the stuff that's made up of that. Which brings me to another point that I want to bring up. I am really excited, and I know you are too, with our new partnership with Came to Believe Recovery.
Yes.
Now, folks, I want you to write this down, CameToBelieveRecovery.org. Now, I know their website is going to be updating here in the future, but I'm sure the URL is going to be the same. CameToBelieveRecovery.org is an organization that has, amongst other things, has taken the way that Clarence Snyder, who, for those of you who are AA history buffs, maybe even some of you who aren't, may recognize that name, his methodology in taking his sponsees through the steps, a three-day process. And because we know this is life or death, none of this, you know, a step a month, you know, I've been in AA for 25 years and I'm still on step four. None of that nonsense, but some real historical truth that really makes sense why the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12-step movement was so successful, quite frankly, more successful than they are today, and maybe some reasons why they aren't today, but they could be, and they take these, they create these retreats and seminars where they go around and they teach people how to walk through this step process in 3 days. Roger, you've been to the retreat, and you said it was life-changing, right?
Yes. I learned about the workbook, the Came to Believe workbook, in 2008 or 9.
Yeah.
And I've been utilizing it since then, but I had never actually attended a retreat.
Yeah.
I went in December of last year, and it was amazing. There were 40 of us there, and... yes, it's a life-changing situation that people generally don't speak about in Alcoholics Anonymous or in the fellowship.
Yeah,
and I'm relatively sure that most sponsors don't understand what Clarence did and started those workshops in 1966, and it's been going on ever since then. So, yeah, it's a game changer.
It's a game changer, and I am going to be attending. Here's another point I want to make, and we're gonna do a promo about an interview coming up here in just a second. But here's another point I want to make, Roger. You've been a 12-stepper for a very long time. So have I, and yet you went through this workshop, this retreat, right, and it was different than anything you'd ever done.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, I've been utilizing the workbook for years. But experiencing it with newcomers and a number of my sponsees, and watching, first of all, to see it presented.
Yeah.
But watch people lives change before your very eyes. And they get insights and spiritual awakenings and things that they just weren't availed to before.
Yeah.
So wow. It was amazing. It's amazing.
So I am really looking forward to it. The retreat that Came to Believe Recovery is putting on in Portland at City Team. Now this is a private one because it's for a treatment facility, but we've been invited, myself and a few of my sponsees, to take part in that. We're going to take part in that. And Take 12 Recovery Radio, which Roger, of course, you all know by now, is part of, is partnering with Came to Believe to bring a brand new podcast. The launch date is March 5th, and we will be broadcasting that podcast every Tuesday. And it's going to be surrounded around really the truth of what a spiritual awakening is and the process, and there'll be topics and guests. And I mean, it's just going to be a phenomenal podcast. And
don't forget, next Monday we'll be interviewing Tom.
And next Monday, and so we got a clip about that interview. So let's close out the icebreaker and move on to that, and then we'll come back with the topic. So check this out, folks. Hey there, it's the Monty Man, and I am excited about a show coming up on Take 12 Recovery Radio, Monday, February 26th, when my co-host Roger McDermott and I will welcome Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez from Came to Believe Recovery. Now listen, Came to Believe Recovery is made up of men and women who have recovered from a variety of addictions, including drugs and alcohol, and are committed to helping others break free from their addictions through retreats, workshops, and other events that provide the tools and directions for a powerful spiritual awakening. You want to know why the early 12-step movement was so successful? Well, you don't want to miss this show. Not only will we pull the covers off the reason for today's low recovery rates, but we will offer up a solution to this issue as well. So that's Monday, February 26th, posted no later than 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Simply visit us at take12radio.com and listen on any of the podcasting platforms listed there. In the meantime, check out Came to Believe Recovery at cametobelieverecovery.org. Little Stevie Ray for you. Pride and Joy. Coincidentally, our topic is pride. Oh, how did that work out? Wow.
Look how you did that, Monty.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
What you did there? Yeah, I get that.
You know, all credit goes to the production staff of Gnomes. Yes. Of course, the mischievous workings of Cecil. So we got that interview coming up. You guys are going to love it, especially those of you who are sticklers about the steps. And then we got the launch date on March 5th. Now you'll be able to listen and download that podcast for fun and for free right here at take12radio.com and also at cametobelieverecovery.org and wherever you get your podcast, actually. So there'll be more about that. All right, the topic of pride. So a little paragraph here from JesusOnline.com. In some sense, pride is the foundational sin. As Bible commentator William Barclay declared, pride is the ground in which all other sins grow and the parent from which all the other sins come. With pride, we can justify any other form of rebellion against God's commands. Pride may also have literally been the first sin to pollute God's creation. Many a theologian has speculated that what caused angel Lucifer to rebel against God was pride. He would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. We thus follow the devil's well-known path into sin when we put our thoughts, feelings, and desires ahead of serving God, and how easy it is to slip into pride. For those who are struggling with pride, it is not enough just to overcome the sin. It must be replaced with its opposing virtue, humility. And boy, don't you know that Bill Wilson was big on humility. When you look at everything he wrote, you know, that series that Chris S. and I are doing, Walking Through the Language of the Heart. Man, Bill touches on humility constantly. And so that's something that listeners, you can check out as well. So for the topic for February 19th from the book, The Man Within, this is a book that Dave Fleming has turned us on to. Again, he's not feeling well today. Our thoughts go with you, Dave. From 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This is true for a man on the treacherous road of recovery. I am warning of the problem of pride. A prideful man in recovery is like a man attempting to tightrope walk across a deep canyon blindfolded and on one foot. Many of the world's best have fallen off the road of recovery to their deaths because of their pride. In addiction does not care who you are, how rich you are, how intelligent you are, how much willpower you have. So pride has no redeeming value in recovery. Pride is deadly. It keeps the man in recovery from seeing the dangers of small risks from his addiction. It keeps a man from seeking help from others who are walking the same road and from seeing his own character defects. Most importantly, pride separates a man from God, which is the lifeline of his recovery. Lord, teach me to be humble. Ouch. A lot of ouch in there, you know, Roger?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Humility is hurtful.
Did you, in your recovery, in your early recovery, did you have a clue that one of your biggest issues was your ego?
It took a long time. No, yeah. I had no concept of the concept of dying to oneself, which is a Christian principle, but also self-centeredness has to be smashed in the context of AA. I never forgot that line, but that didn't mean that I completely understood or realized what that meant. And I think pride, the word pride, is very much misunderstood. When people are performance-based, they think they've done something well and they performed well. They say, I'm proud of what I did. It's hard to penetrate that concept and realize that, you know, without God, I am nothing. And yeah. Paul wrote that when I am weak, I am strong. So it's a concept that takes, I think, prayer and discussion and reading the Word, and it just takes dying to self.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute and ask you a question. What's wrong with being proud of yourself?
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that I set out some goals and I've accomplished what I plan to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm taking personal pride in the fact that I accomplished something, I think today I'm of the ilk that all blessings come from God. And so am I happy that I followed His word and His commands and I'm living the 12 steps of AA? Yes, I'm happy about that. The whole pride concept is a weird thing. I mean, I don't like getting puffed up about, it's not about Roger. It's about what God wants to do through me. But first He has to do it in me before I can be utilized for Him to help other people. Because if I'm just doing it for me, that's not doing it for God.
Yeah. You know,
like walking around and say, I've got 50 sponsees, look at me. I don't need that. Just the fact that I just said that sentence disgusts me.
Yeah. And so, you know, now some would say, and I've had people actually, email me about some of our shows and say, yeah, but I always love it when people start out with that. I know when I start out with that, I'm getting ready to justify something. But they'd say, yeah, but what you guys are talking about is kind of deep. And, you know, when the guy's new, you need to take it easy on him, man. This kind of stuff is a little too confusing. It's just a miracle he even showed up. Pour his coffee and be nice.
Well, if you read the big book, our textbook of recovery, it's all in the 164 pages. It talks about the essential ingredients of recovery.
Yeah.
Are open-mindedness, willingness. It talks a lot about rigorous honesty. And as you said, Bill wrote a lot about humility. Well, when I came in, I understood humiliation. I had no concept of humility. I just didn't. Because I was self-centered to the core, to the max.
Yep. So is there a difference between pride and confidence?
Yes.
What is your interpretation of the difference?
Well, competent, if you're competent in something, you've learned a skill to perform a feat to reach a goal.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with me being puffed up about what I did. It means that I did what I was supposed to do to achieve a goal. That's competent. That's doing what one's supposed to do in the case of a job or a trainer or whatever your calling is, whatever it is. To be competent in what you do is to learn the information to be able to translate it to someone else or to achieve a goal in the workplace or whatever it might be. That's being competent. But being proud about the fact that I did that, I think it's an interesting discussion. Because today, whatever I do that I do well,
yeah,
I want to say thank you, God, for giving me the gift that I'm now taking advantage of through your spirit to do the best job I can. Is that pride? I don't think so.
Yeah. So here, I'm going to quote this. This is part of the lyrics to a song that's from the musical, The Sound of Music. It's really interesting. I used to love this song. It had a beat to it that was just great. It was a feel-good song and everything. But I was looking at the lyrics and I was thinking, this is kind of, well, I just see what you think. This is, so Julie Andrews is on her way to meet the Von Trapp family. And she has been basically booted out of the convent because she's a bit of a flibbity widget, they called her. She's kind of rebellious, and the Mother Superior wants her. It's interesting. She's in a place where she's supposed to be finding herself, and they tell her she needs to leave to go find herself. So kind of an oxymoron there. But anyway, she's on her way, and she's got her guitar, and she's walking down this road, and she is scared to death of what she's going to run into. But by the end of the song, man, she's ready to take on the Von Trapp family. And here's the lyrics part of the lyrics to the song. With each step, I am more certain everything will turn out fine. I have confidence. The world can all be mine. They'll have to agree. I have confidence in me. I have confidence in sunshine. I have confidence in rain. I have confidence that spring will come again. Besides what you see, I have confidence in me. Strength doesn't lie in numbers. Strength doesn't lie in wealth. Strength lies in nights of peaceful slumbers. When you wake up, wake up. It can be all I trust I leave my heart to. All I trust becomes my own. I have confidence in confidence alone. Besides what you see, I have confidence in me. I read that and I go, I don't know. What do you think of those lyrics, man?
The Sound of Music is one of my favorite musicals.
Me too.
And it was every time I watch it, I love it. But the lyrics are very much current generation. It's all about me. And,
yeah.
And while I... So confidence in oneself. See, if you're a child of God and you believe in Christ, then that's biblical to have confidence in yourself, because God placed tremendous value in you and me,
yeah,
as his child, and he wants us to carry his message, and he gives us his Holy Spirit to give us strength and wisdom. He gave us his word to teach us how to do life on life's terms. So if you put those lyrics and that song into that context, I'm okay with it. But there's no mention of God or anything spiritual in that song. It's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm challenged by that, because I live most of my life all about me. And it took me to the depths of despair and desperation and incomprehensible demoralization, until I realized that God still loved me and he had a plan for me, and it was in the middle of recovery and helping other people. So it changes. Everything changes, but it takes time, and it takes work, and it takes the mercy and grace of God.
Yeah. I find it interesting. Let's see. I'm not sure how old The Sound of Music is, but how current this is. Like you said, this really reflects our culture today.
Yes.
You know, when you put the music to this, it is very upbeat. She's dancing down the street. She's spinning around, yeah, with her guitar, yeah, you know, and you're like, man, that feels really good, you know. And I'm all for feel good stuff. I mean, why not? You know, I mean, there's things that your flesh will do that are healthy, you know, and feeling good about yourself and all that stuff. But you're right. Why exactly am I even able to feel good about myself? Well, it's because of what God's done in my life. And she is very adamant. Not only does she have confidence in confidence, she has confidence in herself. And she's trying to work herself up so she can face what she has heard is a very hard, hard task with all these kids and this guy who's supposedly just a meanie, you know. Which we find out later in the musical. I mean, he's just a big jellyfish who's just looking for love in all the wrong places. And he finds Julie Andrews, right? And who doesn't love Julie Andrews? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great love story.
She's great. I mean, she is amongst, you know, her and Carol.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Her and Carol Burnett are best buddies. Lucille, yeah, Ball. You know, that whole era. So it's really hard to say. Because some people are listening going, oh, come on. Leave Julie Andrews alone. Yeah. But my point is, we need to be careful who we're giving credit to when it comes to where our confidence comes from. But you know what, Roger? If we have not had a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps, and I'm not talking about spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening, which would suggest that we were asleep thinking we were awake, right?
Yes.
If we haven't had that, if we are not at some point in our relationship with the Creator, right, then I get why you need confidence in yourself. Because you're not going to get any. I don't have confidence in my sponsor. He's human. Right? I trust God to work through my sponsor. But if I'm putting my confidence in him, there we go again. 0 + 0 = 0. Right?
Yes.
Let's share this little story. My sponsor years ago, when I was getting ready to do my fifth step, and I had my fourth step. You should have seen it, Roger. My fourth step was classic. It was in a binder. It had graphs and cartoons, a little graphics, and there was, you know, topic points. And I mean, it was great. And it was all printed on cardstock, laminated. I mean, you should have seen this thing. And my sponsor knew what I was doing. He knew what I was up to, because we saw each other all the time. So I got ready. I got it all done. And he wouldn't answer my phone calls. And finally, I ran into him at the store. I go, Doug, what's going on, man? I've been calling you. He goes, yeah. You know what? You know why I haven't answered your calls? Because you've become sponsor dependent, not God dependent. You become so dependent on me to solve your issues, you're totally missing the point. So until you become God dependent, we're not having a discussion. And by the way, that thing that you're putting together, you call a four-step inventory. See, you throw that in the trash. I said, but you have no idea. I worked so hard. My color printer is out of ink. I mean,
all about Monty.
He would not even look at it. He never even looked at it. And I held on to it for a while because of my pride and ego, and then eventually I tossed it because I understood what he was saying, you know. But we kind of live our lives like that. We dress to impress, right?
Yeah. I live my life that way for 40 plus years. And even into recovery. It took me time to understand the concept of pride and selflessness.
So let me grab my big book here. Let's see. Introduction. Okay, so listeners, if you have a big book, forward to the first edition. And this is the third edition I'm reading from. It says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered, there's that word, from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered. The interesting thing here is many times at conventions and conferences, this will be read to open up the conference, right? And I was at a conference last year, and the lady got up who was like the chairperson for the whole thing, and she read, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 people. And she stopped. She goes, people, again, you have recovered from seemingly hopeless state of mind and body to show other people, right? And I went, why are you changing the literature? Well, she was doing it because she was driving home the point of her political agenda, which the last time I read, we have no opinion on those issues. So read it the way it says, 100 men and women. Now it's literally thousands, but it says men and women. Sorry, it says men and women. I get a lot of people that might be listening to this show that really ticks off because they don't even know if they are a man or a woman.
It says what it says.
You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. But if you're going to quote it.
Right.
Please. And I think that is an issue of pride. Don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's sure. It's ego. It's pride. It's self-importance.
Phew.
It's look at me. I know better than what the literature says. I mean, I just cringe when I hear that because I don't. It was written the way it was written. Say what it
right.
means, and it means what it says.
And I've been told that at least it's in the works, a new edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous that's politically correct and current. The word current, that scares the devil out of me.
I heard that they're not, so the next edition that's coming out is not going to be altered, but there's going to be an alternative edition that's politically correct.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
So you can choose this one if you don't want this one. And
right. If you don't like the truth, you can read this nonsense.
You know, it's very interesting that, and this was pointed out to me by Dick B. years ago, that if you look at the original manuscript, the first edition, all the way to the fourth edition, that the stories in the back slowly weeded out God.
Yeah.
And of course it was subtle and it was slow, but you know, so that's an issue of pride. I think it was, may have been J. Vernon McGee that said something like, pride is man's declaration that he can live without God. You know, and so.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Dave Vernon, he's awesome. Yeah.
And so, man, you take God out of the big book of AA, you don't have AA literature anymore. You just have some good ideas. you know, that may work for people that
some shallow ideas.
Very shallow ideas, right? Yeah. You know, I think I shared with you that I was at a meeting that was supposedly an atheist agnostic meeting of AA, and they had changed everything. And I thought, you know, this isn't an AA meeting. This is a nice little meeting of people supporting each other, but it's not an AA meeting.
No, it can't be.
You know, I mean, so please take the triangle, take it down, or at least call it something else, but it's not an AA meeting. So we'll probably get some responses there as well.
Well, God, either in personal pronouns or capital G-O-D, is mentioned, I believe, 132 times
right.
in 164 pages. So if you take that those references out, what do you have? And they're in the God's in the 12 steps.
Yeah. Yep. Man's declaration he can live without God. Pride. Pride. You know, and that word, and I'm going to do this, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but that word has been attached to some movements, and I'm afraid, even with good intentions, those of you who are involved in those movements, I'm afraid it's going to be to your detriment. I really do. We can wave our flag of pride all day long, whether I don't care what cause you're talking about. It can be it can be the cause of Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Celebrate Recovery. It can be the cause of your church. It can be the cause of your political stance. It can be the cause of how you look at gender and all that stuff that's going on. It doesn't matter what it is. But if going before you is your pride and ego, it is going to come back and bite you, and it is going to be your destruction. Absolutely. You look throughout history every single time.
It's not, pride is not a virtue. It
no,
is not.
No.
Humility is a virtue. You don't see pride written in Sermon on the Mount.
No.
You don't see Christ talking about pride being a good thing and something to seek,
right?
And develop.
Yeah,
he talks about humility, all everywhere.
So going back to accomplishing something and saying, you know, I'm kind of proud of myself that I did that. That's fine, but who are you giving the credit to?
Exactly.
You know, give the glory.
So I would view that as, God has given me abilities to do certain things.
Yeah.
Those are gifts that he's given me. And if I take full advantage and develop those gifts through his Holy Spirit, through his word, and through his power, I can be proud that I did that. But it's not because I did anything. It's because I did do something, but I followed what he wanted me to do.
Right.
I took advantage of the gifts that he gave me. That's why I do what I do. He gets all the glory. I'm grateful to be his kid and his soldier down here doing what he wants me to do. When I do it, the sense that I have, I don't call it pride, though. It's just that word doesn't resonate with me. I call it gratitude. I am so
Amen. Grateful. Amen.
Yeah, it's not pride. It's gratitude.
You know, my sponsor, Bruce, bless his heart, he's gone home to be with the Lord some time ago, but he was a big one so you were obedient today. You want a cookie? You want a marching band? You did what you were supposed to do.
Have you ever seen anybody, as people in recovery, get so excited about doing the very thing that they always supposed to do?
Right.
And that people don't have those addictions that do anyway?
Yeah.
Like, we're congratulating ourselves and doing something that we were supposed to do anyway.
I haven't drove drunk in 2 years. Oh, my, yay! You know, and everybody's patting you on the back. It's like, oh, are you serious? I mean, I get that it's very hard and very difficult and challenging to actually get clean, to actually get sober and stay. So I get all that, you know, but I think sometimes we're praising the wrong guy or gal. It's him. And Bruce used to say, you can't even be obedient unless he gives you the ability to be obedient.
Yeah.
It's not because you're so obedient. It's because he gave you the ability and the power to. Addiction is about powerlessness. Recovery is about power, and it ain't yours.
Yeah. Well, it says us. Read it. It's on page 25 of the Big Book, one of my favorite paragraphs. Exactly what happened to us.
Closing thoughts, Roger.
I don't like the word pride. And even the thing from The Sound of Music, I get it. But if it were in context of God-given abilities that I've taken advantage of, I'm happy about that. I'm joyous about that. And
amen.
I'm eternally grateful. So it's not pride for me.
I'm not going to play this song. I've got another song to close out with, but I want to read the lyric, a piece of the lyrics to you. It's from Casting Crowns. The song is called Only Jesus, and I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. When I heard this song a couple years ago, man, it brought me to my knees. It says, make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself, dream your dreams, chase your heart, above all else, make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the light, but it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him, only Jesus. All the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when it's said and done. Because all that really matters, did I leave the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? Only Jesus.
Whew.
I don't want to leave a legacy. For years I thought I really want to leave a legacy. I want my kids to remember me and pass on their dad's values and blah 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 blah. I didn't realize till I heard that song, Roger. I didn't realize how self-centered I was being. I mean, I get the desire to want to pass on stuff and all that kind of thing, but the bottom line is, did I leave Jesus with you when I walked out that door? That's the only thing that really matters. All right. So our closing song. Listen, if you're having a hard time, I get it. If you're going through stuff that you've heard this too shall pass. I know you've heard that, and you're going, but when? I love what my mentor Chris S says. He quotes another guy. He said there was the story he tells us of this. This guy was sitting in an AA meeting, and he'd been in there for a while, and people were saying, you know, just keep coming back, man. It'll get better. Just do these steps. It'll get better. Trust God. Love people. It'll get better. Man, I've lost my house. I've lost my wife. I've lost my kids. I've lost my job. When's it going to get better? And some old-timer spoke up, and he said, kid, I'll tell you when it's going to get better, when it's okay just the way it is. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it true that this too shall pass? Yes, it is. And to sing about that, here's Larry Fleet and Zach Williams.
There've been times you felt you could not lift your head, and all those lonely nights when you just needed a friend. And those days go by, but the clouds keep rolling in. You're not alone. Oh, you're not alone. And all those times, everything you touched, it turned to gold. There was nothing you could say or do that ended up wrong. Those days went by and the time didn't last too long. You're not alone.
I'm not alone. In the morning, in the evening, every day and in between. When it's raining, when it's pouring, and your grass don't look so green. Your world might fall to pieces, but these troubles won't last. Just remember, brothers and sisters, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Your prayers, he even knows your name. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. In the morning, in the evening, every day and in between. When it's raining, when it's pouring, and your grass don't look so green. Your world might fall to pieces, but these troubles won't.
Zach Williams, This Too Shall Pass. I know it may not feel like it, but don't trust your feelings, my friends, because the truth is, whatever you're going through, you will come out the other side if you let go of your pride. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with Dave Fleming, Roger McDermott, and the entire Take 12 Recovery Radio family of broadcasters, reminding you that because of God's great grace and love, you are entitled to overcome.
This has been a broadcast of Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Kitty, 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 kitty. Meow, meow, meow.
Woof, woof.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.